Happy Thanksgiving. Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, all my precious brethren, my precious fellows in recovery. I am almost brought to tears today. I'm so moved with the spirit of Thanksgiving. It has just really come upon me as I began to prepare to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. My qualifier today is that I am a recipient of the goodness of God. I always have been, for some reason, I don't know why, and I know I always will be, and I am so grateful for that. My recovery has not been a linear experience for me. It's been, you know, it's been said before, it's kind of gone this way, you know, zigzagging back and forth. Kind of like what I heard that an airplane, it doesn't fly in a linear path. It keeps going off course a little bit, but the navigation system, it keeps bringing it back on course. And that's how my life in recovery has been. And it has been wonderful. It has been exciting. It has been dramatic. It's been, you know, everything it could be. And I'm so grateful for the ride. And I'm so excited to share my Thanksgiving and my gratitude today. I celebrate us today. I celebrate your recovery. I celebrate my recovery and the miracles that we are today. And I just want to take a little time for a prayer today. Little time of silence. Thank you, God, for all the miracles that we are. We wholeheartedly thank you, and we are so grateful for each other. Just guide my words today. Amen. So I'll start out by saying that I came in contact with OA about in 1996. It was a year after I experienced recovery from alcohol. So in that time, in that year's time, when I first started getting sober in AA, I began to become aware. It's so evident to me now, but it wasn't then. My mind started to clear so much in that recovery time that I began to look at or began to become aware that there was something wrong with my eating. And I didn't ever think there was anything wrong with it. That was just the way I ate. This is just how I did things. And there was a woman in my fellowship, AA fellowship, who was also an OA. And I went to her and said, you know, something is strange about the way I eat. And she said, oh, she didn't even listen to how strange it was, because I really didn't know. She says, oh, go to OA. And here's my sponsor's phone number. And so because I had learned some humility and I had learned how to listen in that year's time, even though I didn't know the nature of my disease or even the dynamics, I just had a consciousness in the back of my head that something was wrong. I actually went to an OA meeting and I called her sponsor and I talked with her. And she was a sponsor for me for about 2 years that I stayed in OA. And there were a lot of changes in my life in that time regarding how I ate the food, regarding consciousness of my behavior. And one of them was I used to go into grocery stores and go to the bulk food section and get the bulk food that I liked, candy, and I would get a bag of that, and then I'd eat it through the store, and then just pay for whatever was left. And after when I came into OA, I my eyes were open. It was like, okay, that's stealing. You know, there was a word for that I didn't know. It was stealing. And you know, those kind of times of enlightenment really did change my perspective towards my behavior and how I ate. I had an AA sponsor, and at one point I said to her, something's wrong with my eating. And she said to me, well, yeah, most people don't eat ice cream for dinner. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. But even she saw there was something weird about my eating at that time. So I did go to OA. I stayed in there, but I couldn't connect the dots. I did not get it. I got some of it, you know, I got some insight into my behavior, into the eating. I even lost 20 pounds because I did what everybody else did at that time. They stopped eating sugar and white flour. And I did that. And I lost 20 pounds. But I really never got that connection of the spiritual connection that somehow my eating was a result of my spiritual life. And so I left OA after a while. And I think after 2 years, I went to my son's wedding and they had cake and I had cake. I thought there was nothing wrong with that. And I don't think I went back to OA after that. But I did go back to eating sugar and white flour. And so from, you know, that time until 2010, my disease began to grow. Now, when I was a young girl, I was a sugar addict from the very beginning. There's a picture of me when I was about 3 years old and I had something chocolate in my hand and I was crying. And I thought that's pretty typical. It probably started before then, you know, my sugar addiction. And so I did not have a compulsion for eating, you know, food. That did not appear in my life until later in my life, but the sugar addiction was always there. And so I went to OA at that time. I in 2010, by then my addiction had grown and I had also, my body had grown. I started gaining more weight. I had always been able to control my weight, but, I found that after those years had passed, the eating was getting worse, the weight gain was getting faster, and for several years before 2010, I know God was calling me back to OA, but I didn't want to go. But finally, in 2010, I wanted some changes in my life, and it wasn't resolution, but it was like a goal for the New Year's for 2010. I was going to go back to OA. And I was going to get a sponsor. And that's exactly what I did. And I actually met up with my old sponsor. And so from 2010 to 2015, I continued to struggle with the food. I came and I sat in the meetings. I did not like OA. I did not get warm and fuzzy feelings from it as I did from AA fellowship. And so I judged that. I saw people in the rooms who were overweight and I judged that. And so I spent the first part of my time in OA in 2010 judging people, but still knowing that I needed to come to OA. And I didn't come to OA in desperation like some people do. I came to OA because I knew that's where God wanted me to go, and that's where I went. I did not understand the disease even at that time. I did not understand the dynamics of it. I only knew that I had some kind of problem. And so as I was going at that time, I asked this woman one time in a meeting, I said, so what is your food plan? You know, and she said to me, and she saw through that. She said, you're still trying to control the food. And I thought, well, yes, isn't that what this is about? And she did not tell me what her food plan, I don't think she told me what it is. But I wondered, I thought, well, what does she mean by trying to control the food? I didn't get it. Now I get it. But I continued to come, even though I felt like I wasn't getting it, even though I felt like a failure, I was still struggling with the food. I did see that some people came in and out of OA. And it seemed to me that they'd come in and they'd get a food sponsor and they'd send in their food. And within a short amount of time, they were not coming anymore. And I thought, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to start giving my food to a food sponsor. And because I know I wouldn't follow these plans. But anyhow, I did actually grow spiritually and emotionally in OA at that time, because I just kept going to the meetings. I worked with my sponsor. She was not a step sponsor, but I worked through a lot of emotional problems. And so I did some work, and I did go forward one step at a time in OA, in growing spiritually and in the knowledge of my disease, and you know, improving little by little, you know. And so by 2015, I would never say I'm going to be abstinent from sugar. I could not say it. I thought, I'm not going to say that, because I know that once I think that I've got it, that I've got this, and I'm going to be free from sugar, sugar always wins out. And I just thought, I'm just not going to say that or even think that. But you know, there was growth in those 5 years. And I had various sponsors for various things. And one day in 2015, it was just before Christmas, I was driving to go to two birthday parties that day. And I knew there was going to be cake, and I didn't want to have any cake. And I called my sponsor and I said, I'm going there and I don't want to eat these. And he said to me, well, you know, it was a very quick conversation. You know, are you powerless? Yes. Do you believe that God can restore your sanity? Yes. Do you give your will and your life over to God's care today? And I said, yes. He said, okay, then call me if you have any problems. So I went to those parties. I did not eat the cake. And that was just before Christmas. I didn't notice this, but even through Christmas, I did not eat sugar. I hardly noticed it. And it was on December 28th that it was after Christmas. I was stressed. And I thought, you know, I'm not gonna, I was looking at some candy my husband brought in the house, and I thought, I picked up some and I think I ate some. I had a bite of it and I thought, I don't even want this. In fact, this would be such a slap in the face, because God has kept me sober these days through Christmas. And so I put it down, and I got free from recreational sugar at that time. And I was free from that to 2020. 2020, I began going to the vision meetings. In the vision meetings, I began to hear a message I had never heard before, and it was about entire abstinence. Now, I was free from the sugar, but I was still always struggling with this candy or that candy, or not candy, but this food or that food. I was abstaining from bakery goods and candy, but I wasn't abstaining from sugar ingredients. I didn't even think about those things. And so in 2020, I started going to vision, but I was in a place, I was just kind of floundering in my program. I did not want to sponsor people anymore. I didn't want to go to the meetings anymore, because I felt such shame all the time that I just wasn't getting it. I just wasn't enough. But when I listened to vision, I heard a new message, and it was about entire abstinence. And it was like a trumpet call to me, a trumpet call. And these people in this meeting began to speak about a spiritual life that I did not know about. And although I was a woman of faith, and I was, you know, I believed and trusted in God and saw God's miracles in my life, there was this closeness that I wanted. Is this 1 minute to 15 minutes? Okay. So at any rate, I'm just so grateful. I found what entire abstinence is for me. I got a sponsor in OA, my sponsor is here today. I have to say, I'm so grateful to her and the work that she did with me. And it was hard. But I'll tell you, I have a new life today, and it's one of gratitude and thanksgiving. And it's a discipline that I'm practicing daily. and living in the consciousness, my greatest blessing is that today I can say I live in the consciousness of God's presence every day. And in the big book on page 51, it says that is the most important thing, that we live in the consciousness of God's presence. And that is the thing I am the most grateful for. And that is what my recovery has brought me to. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for my sponsor today that has taught me so many things that I needed to know. So with that, I'll close.